Well, I'll tell you what, it has been a week. That's one way to put it. I've had several opportunities and different things as I thought about, you know, what am I going to be preaching? What's my next message? I start thinking about that when I leave. What's my next one? And God just says, go live. Go figure. You get to preach. You get to live life. And if you, one that says, well, no, I think you need to spend hours studying. Jesus lived and preached. He taught them about fishing. You're fishing on the wrong side of the boat. You know how I know? Because he said, go to the right side of the boat. That was a bad dad joke. But I've been, had this song going through my heart. I wake up, and I mean, it's still going. And it was the only time it was hard for it to keep going was during praise and worship. Like, I'm trying to go through the songs, words of this song, and I'm like, I got praise and worship going on. And I have a hard time paying attention sometimes when there's just one voice. And, but it's, I stand in awe of you. Jesus, I stand in awe of you. You know, of all the phrases in this world that we've grabbed hold of and we ride. I remember a comedian once did a bit about the word awesome. And he was just talking about how it was the most overrated word in the 2000s. Awesome. Everything was awesome. I think that was even a song on the Lego Movie. Everything is awesome. Well, how's it going? Awesome. No, not really. Because, you see, what the word awesome comes from is awe. And awe is a feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear and wonder. Putting that into play, no, not everything is awesome. You know, I was just thinking about different things through the world. Things that we would say, well, that's awesome. You know, Rob and Katie, when they got to see the Alps, I mean, beautiful mountains and the awe that you would feel. You know, Joe and Faye got to see the Redwoods. The same thing, and then they got to see some beautiful scenery this year and just different things. I've seen icebergs from the plane. I learned my lesson from Titanic. fly over them bubbies. But we say things are awesome. Does it leave you in fear? Does it leave you in wonder? If it didn't leave you trembling, then it was not that awesome. And as I was sitting in my chair this morning, drinking my coffee and just sitting out there listening to the birds. Man, they were noisy this morning. They were just we had these cowbirds, several of them. Usually it's only two or three, but man, there was half a dozen or so squawking all over the place. And as I'm sitting there and I'm looking and watching all the birds and the trees and just looking around and started noticing, and I was thinking about the word awe and how things are supposed to be awesome. Well, you look at the mountains, the Alps, beautiful. The Smokies, beautiful. The Rockies, beautiful. The Grand Canyon's beautiful. But you're looking back from way back here. The real awe, the shock and the wonder is in the detail. The marble that makes up a mountain. Every little granule that made up that mountain. And as I'm watching, I'm looking, and I just happened to notice our ferns, when we put them up, I think it was a week later, they got bit. We think they got a little bit of frost on the outer leaves. And I'm like, oh no, we just put all these up. And they're going to, hopefully they don't all die. And I'm just sitting there and I'm looking as I'm watching the long fronds that have grown since then and the new ones that are coming up and just starting to uncurl. That's the details of awe. The little details of your life, those are the things that are awe, things that we think are insignificant. And yet, God will utilize them. He will take advantage of them and use them to do good. Most of these things we look at, you know, I remember a little bit about, you know, rock formations and stuff. And I know most of them are made up of components that over time they came together, just like concrete. Concrete didn't just happen. There's a chunk out there if anybody wants to find out. You're more than welcome to start breaking on it too. I'm getting a jackhammer on a skid loader. But things, the details of your life. As I thought about that and thought about what awe really does, fear and wonder. You know, we read in the Bible where it says, and they fell down. They hid their face from an angel. I want to read to you from Revelation 1. It's not going to come up here, because I want you to see this with your... I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were of fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand upon me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. John saw Jesus truly glorified. But not only did he seem truly glorified, the Holy Spirit showed me, he showed him the things that Paul was trying to convey to us about the weapons of our warfare as well. He had a breastplate of gold. It wasn't just leather, hardened leather and a little bit of steel. It was breastplate of gold. He's glorified now. See, there's a combat uniform, and then there's the dress uniform. You do not wear your dress blues to combat. I see videos of these guys dancing and acting the fool and all this stuff. I'm like, how did you move? It's got a collar. It's about this wide, and it's stiff, and it's choking you, and you can't breathe. But I'm going to tell you right now, we were proud to put that puppy on. But here's Jesus Christ, and John is trying to describe what he's seeing. He said his hair was white, his face was white, his eyes were fire. He went into the detail of something that made him fall to the ground as if dead. And what Jesus told him, do not be afraid. And out of his mouth came a two-edged sword. That's the word. That is the spoken word. That is the exact reason that's a two-edged sword. It's not, well, it looks like a cross. That was just a happenstance. I wanted it up there because I understand how the Word of God cuts. Jesus said, say to this sycamine tree, say to this mountain. The centurion that Jesus said, no greater faith have I found in all of Israel, just merely said, Lord, speak. Because our words, when they're spoken, are sharper than any two-edged sword. You have to speak. But the glory of God was on Jesus Christ in this vision, so powerful that it left John in awe. He dropped. Strength left his body. And all Jesus wanted to do was, I just wanted to show you something. He had no strength left in his body. That's awe. That is awesome, right? I mean, there's things I love to see. A friend of mine posted on Facebook as he was flying back to Seattle, pictures from the sky, the cloud formations, the cities and stuff. And, you know, he's a Vietnam vet, so he's a little bit older than me. But I put on there, I said, I don't care how many times I fly. And I have flown thousands and thousands of miles. That's why I got to see the icebergs. And believe it or not, I got to see the sun come up twice because I went back. And in that, I said, it still amazes me to see all of this. And I hear people, oh, look, they're newbies to flying. Look at them taking the pictures. This is awesome. If I had a superpower, it would be to fly. See y'all later. I'm going to go down to see Machu Picchu. You know why I want to fly there? Because I don't want to climb that. You seen no steps? No, thank you. But I just love being able to see the glory of God. But you know what's even more awesome is to get down here and see the detail that God put in it. To see the detail that God put in that fern. Each little leaf on that frond. And then to see the new one starting to curl out and open up. Knowing that in about a week, it was going to be as long as the one that was right below it. And the same thing with us. You want to see awesome? Look around you. The detail that God put into creating you. The whole thing with DNA, he knew it was there. He knew what was going to do. He originated it. It's not a happenstance. The very detail that is put into you to be who you are, that's awesome. We seem to think we can't find things to be thankful for. Just take 5 minutes and shut your brain off. That's the hardest part for me, is just sitting there not thinking about anything. Well, isn't that dangerous? I'm not trying to worship a demon. I'm just trying to shut out my job. I'm trying to shut out this voice that's screaming, this voice that's screaming, this voice. Whether it's work I got to do, whether it's somebody I got to go see, whether it's got this, 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 and this. If you don't take the time to get to know your Savior's voice, to know who God is, you're going to miss the details. You're going to miss how awesome he is. See, you and I, we have a unique opportunity. We have a unique thing. We get to be called his children. People that don't know him, servants or friends. But he said, if you obey my commandments, if you do the will of my Father, there's an issue here with a lot of people today. And the Holy Spirit was started talking to me about it earlier this week about Lord versus Savior. Many people, he's their Savior. Oh yeah, Jesus is my Savior, hallelujah. Yes, but is he your Lord? It says Lord and Savior. Lord is a higher standing, higher calling. Okay, yep, I'm your Savior, but am I your Lord? See, on my property, I'm the Lord. Nobody comes on here and tells me what to do on my property. That's mine. Are you Jesus's? Do you belong to Jesus? Is he your Lord? Do you do what he says to do? By the way, he'll never tell you to hurt anybody. Just getting that out there. You've had enough things happen in years gone by in the news. Oh, God told me. God's not going to tell you to harm somebody. We've got too many people that he's just a Savior. Oh, yep, Jesus saved me from my sin. I'm just going to go do what I want to do. No. I'm going to tell you right now, when I finally got the two together and understood, oh yeah, Jesus was my Savior, but I really didn't know him as Lord. And by the way, he's a good Lord. He loves you. There's a lot of Lords, they're bad. We don't really have a concept of the Lord here, except for landlord. That's it. That's about the only one we fully understand. And I really never even got hold of it until quite a few years ago. I was watching, was it on PBS? It was BBC, called Laird of the Glen. It means Lord of the Glen in Scottish. But it was a guy who resisted his position. But there was this manor in Scotland that his father was the Lord of. And he had to go back and take it over because his father and his mother had died. And he needed to keep it going or else they were going to lose it. He became the Lord. He was the one who called the shots. People knew what they had to do, and that's great. We all know what we have to do, but you need to follow the details of what God was saying. You needed to follow the details of what the Laird was saying. Because then it becomes awesome. Things are treacherous. The Alps, oh my goodness, they're really treacherous mountains. The Andes, these mountains are really treacherous. The jungles, they're beautiful. I've been in them. They're treacherous. There's things inside there that want to kill you. But there's also beauty. I've seen waterfalls that you still can't see from the map. I've seen bamboo 100 feet tall. There's so much beauty that's in this world. But yet, we don't take the time to realize God put this here for me to enjoy it. I'm allowed to enjoy it. You know, Matt and Michelle, they just went to Myrtle Beach. You know, awesome trip. I love the beach. I mean, it is one of my favorite places too, Matt. I just love the beach. My last probably 6 months on Okinawa, I was on the beach as much as possible. I came back and I was brown as a berry, as they say. But everything can be a little treacherous. I've got beautiful trees on my property. They're kind of treacherous because some of them are pushing 90 feet. I have limbs that are 65 to 70 feet long. It's a little treacherous when they're not that far from your house. But anytime there's a storm, I say, thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. Any branch that comes off there is not hitting my house, and that tree will not fall. The devil thought he'd test me first off. We hadn't been there very long. Angela calls me up and says, honey, I'm coming from the church. She says, honey, there's a limb down across the driveway. Pfft, yeah. I forget what you had at that time. Was it the Expedition? Yeah, that was a Grand Prix. I'll just put it in four-wheel drive and I'll drive over it. I got home. There's a 22-inch diameter limb that is 65 feet long laying across my drive. I said, I guess I'm not driving over that one. But that is the detail of that cottonwood. It's huge. It's beautiful. And it came from that teeny tiny little seed that was floating in the air a week ago. That's awesome. You know what's awesome? Is to see all of you. The details of your life. Just like those mountains are made up of little details. You can see the veins of quartz. You can see the other sediments that make up those stone, those mountains, and those faces. And we have a unique position to be here. We know about all of your stories. A lot of your stories have a lot of scars, a lot of tragedy. But where there's tragedy, there's a time for rejoicing. There's good times. So if you're in a tragedy, I tell you, keep thanking God. Keep rejoicing. Find your strength in Him, in the one whose eyes are of fire, whose hair is as white as snow, who speaks and it sounds like a raging river. If you've never been near water like that, you need to go sometime. The sound of water, that powerful. You can hear it for a ways off. I mean, those waterfalls, you guys, it's probably, if you couldn't see, I don't need to see it. I can just follow the sound. That's the way God's voice says. His voice, not the Holy Spirit or mine. The Holy Spirit's that soft, gentle voice. But the voice of Jesus is a powerful. Because He's the Word. That is why it is vital. Here we go. I'm going to turn it right back to it. It's why it's important you read the Word. You get it in you. Because the devil's coming stronger and stronger these days. To twist it. To deceive God's people. To separate us. United, we're not falling. Divided is when we fall. And I'm not talking about, well, we just don't agree on this. I don't care about all that stuff. There are churches now that are denying Jesus Christ's divinity. They're supposed to be part of the body of Jesus Christ. And they deny that He was God. Well, He was just a good man, or He was a prophet. No, He's the Son of God. Always has been, always will be. He's my Savior, and most importantly, He's my Lord. And where He says go, I will go. And when He says stop, I will stop. We have in this time, we are seeing things some of the prophets saw. John, I believe, saw some of this stuff. He's trying to describe what he's talking about with the Antichrist. He's like, man, I saw these things. They had faces of men, but they had bodies of locusts, and this, and this, and this, and this. And it's like, yeah, I think we see them every day. Just don't realize it. Daniel saw things so bad, God made him eat the book. Think about that for a minute. We know God just didn't want... Listen, if you knew how things were going to go, would you keep going? Or would you just trust God? Because the whole time, this whole planet Everything has been about trusting God completely and totally. And when Adam chose to trust his brain, because he reasoned, it's good, it's desirable, she's not dead, I'm going to eat it. Problem is, he was the covering. He just didn't trust God enough. Somebody's got something I want. Well, you know what? Thank God. Thank God him for the things you want. And then find yourself a place of contentment. Well, contentment is complacency, Pastor. No, it's not. I heard somebody talk about that once. If you're content, that means you're complacent. You're not moving forward. And they started this whole religious preaching thing going on. It is not. Contentment is, I know who I am in Jesus Christ. I'm not here to make a million. If God gives me a million, praise God. There's some things going to happen. But I'm here to trust him. So whether I've got a million or I've got one, I will trust him. And I will watch and stand in awe of what God does. As I step back in my life and I look and I see what's even going on in my children's lives. You know, I got three sons, they're all at three different stages in their lives. Three kids, no kids, not married. They've all got dreams. And as I watch God move in their lives, and I know the details. That's the great thing. I get to know the details. I get to know the details of your life. And I get to, oh, Lord God, I thank you for what you're doing for Pat and Brenda. Lord, that's awesome. I know what you've been through. And I know what it took to take that little mass of carbon in your life, the residue that's left over from something that died, the pressure that it took, the heat that it took to take that carbon and burn and compress all the impurities out of it to make it a diamond. That's awesome. That's what's awesome. A new car? Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, I get it. It's a Bugatti. It's a $5 million car. Think about that for a second. It's $200,000 to change the tires now, because you have to change your rims too. Well, brother, you know, I just think you think, oh, I think they're pretty sweet. I ain't gonna lie about that. Car does 300 miles an hour. Yes, I like to go fast. But my God's the speed of light. Well, I don't believe it says that, brother. It says he's light. God is light. So that means he travels, what is it, 138,600 whatever, some miles per second. I think I'm close. Yeah, we have nothing that can come close to that. We get excited when we break the sound barrier. He's like, watch this. Oh, and not only is he still going, it's still here. Did y'all think about that for a second? About light? That light starts up there and it ends down here right now. But it's still up there. God is there and there. That's awesome. No matter what you're looking for in your life right now, you need to find awe in God. God, why did this happen? There's why. God, that's awesome. I was beginning to question you, God, whether you knew what you were doing. But you're awesome. You really are awesome. He's the only thing in our lives that we should ever say is really awesome. The birth of my firstborn. 30 years ago. It was pretty phenomenal. And yet, doesn't touch God. Doesn't touch. But when I look into him, you know, 30 years old, I'm looking at him. And I remember the details of his life. The little things, like sticking the light bulb changing thing that we use for those. It's a spring. You put it on a pole and you stick it up in there and it springs out and goes around them. It's all springs. He put it over his head. It's a spring. And when it pulled up, it went and pulled all of his hair with it. He's like, this was stupid. I said, yeah, but it's funny. How many times does God look at us? Said, you're like, oh God, that was stupid. I was like, yeah, but it's kind of funny. Or when he stuck his head through the doggy door that was in our basement in the house we owned. Somebody put a little door on there. I've got the picture to prove it. I got that picture of the springy thing too. I was like, no, I'm not helping you out until I get a picture of this. But then I look back. And the first time I got to hold him in the hospital. Don't you think God looks at you like that? Yeah. I remember the day you were born, Joe. I'm looking at your life right now. You know, he says, that was pretty funny. You got to admit. He said, I know you didn't think it was funny then, but you got to look back. He's like, oh, geez. Lord, did you really see that? He said, I didn't miss a thing. Michelle, I didn't miss a thing in your life, but I remember. I remember when you were born purple. And your daddy was afraid you were dead. And then you cried. And the joy he felt. That's a Lord. He cares about our lives. He cares about every detail. Things that have happened to you. Things you've come through. God cares about those details in your life because they've made you who you are today. Well, I'm just an awful person. Oh, shut up. But you don't know what I've done, and I don't care. Did you eat anybody? Has anybody had anybody here practice cannibalism? Okay, you're good to go. God cares about the details of who you are because he thinks you're pretty awesome. You know, I know because he sent Jesus Christ to die for you. That's how I know he's awesome. Only an awesome God would do that. Thank you, Rich Mullins. He wrote that song, Our God is an Awesome God. This world is a wonderful place to be in. It's a wonderful place to see. It's wonderful to see the things, to experience the majesty of the mountains, to experience flying over. I never got to be in the Grand Canyon, but I got to see it from 30,000 feet. But I remember my first time seeing the Atlantic, then the Pacific, and then the Sea of the Philippines, and then the South China Sea, and a few other seas. And it's just bodies of water. But there's still that. This is pretty phenomenal. A tree is a tree, right? But the redwoods, they kind of put the capital, bold capital letters on tree. God says you guys ain't seen nothing yet. Now, I ain't saying there's little planets living on the specks of dust. That's a Dr. Seuss theology. But God did create every microorganism on your body. In your body. Your system is so... It is astounding that anybody could say it was an accident. The electrical system. The nerves, the fact that they move, they do this. I'm not really thinking about what I'm doing. And yet they're doing it. My heart's beating. My mouth is speaking. The words are coming out. And in spite of the fact that vocal cords are dislocated, I'm still speaking. We break a bone, they heal. God took everything into consideration. If you're sitting there thinking, man, I just need something awesome, go sit down in a chair and just start looking around. I don't care what you're looking at. All I got is this ugly metal building to look at. Look at that building. Then start looking at the details that went into that building. And the details in the details. If you go out there in that limestone, you're going to find pieces of coral. There's ocean life out there. You might find a 49 Ford too, I don't know. Parking lot's a mystery sometimes. But then you'll see the grass, the flowers. As a matter of fact, take a moment and look at the flowers when you walk out. Look at the detail of each one of those. And to think how many thousands of different flowers there are. We love hostas. I just love them. They're super easy to grow. And people say, oh, you just got an awesome hosta. But yeah, I work hard at it. I don't even cut them down in the winter. I just let them rot, let the leaves rot. And then I cover them up with more leaves. And they come back in the spring. But do you know there are hundreds of different varieties of those things? And some of them I'm like, I can't tell the difference between this one and this one. I know I got something that's called a Christmas and another one's called Remember Me. And then there's a blue dragon and there's all these other. I'm like, I just ain't got a clue. But God gave somebody the eye to see the detail between them. Cattle. I have learned to tell Wagyu from other steaks. I do know that difference. But if you were to hold things up, I'm not the person, but there's somebody who can look at that and tell you. I mean, Bob, when he had cattle, he'd go out there and say, well, now that cow right there, he'd just tell you detail. I'm like, okay, I don't see a difference between that cow and that cow. How on God's green earth do you know those two cows apart? But he knew the details. He knew who their parents were. You don't think God cares more about you. We watch hundreds, literally hundreds of sparrows around our house. And the Bible says Solomon wasn't even addressed more appropriately than these little sparrows. And they're not the little red-headed woodpeckers. They're not my bluebirds, my goldfinches. They're not even a cowbird, which has a brown head and a black body. They're just brown. But you pick it up and see the detail. That's what Jesus was talking about. The glory in each feather, the details. And they're the ones that are out there singing. We have these apps. It's, I think it's called Merlin. And we sit out there. Oh, yep, there's that, there's that. And then, oh, hey, my Oriole's out here somewhere. And then we pick up a few birds. I'm like, I didn't even know we had those. It all just sounds like noise to me, but that app can pick up those sounds, the details. And each one of those birds has a different song. That's awesome. God is awesome. All right, let's stand. Start thanking God. I know things go wrong in your life and you're having a hard time getting your feet under you sometimes. Just start thanking Him for that footing. Lord God, I don't know what the next step is. I don't know what I'm holding on to. What's holding on to me? Well, it's Him. He's got you. Start thanking Him. He'll lead you. He always does. Thank Him. You know, I know somebody, their job, they got hit with a, I guess a Louisville Slugger's way I could put it. Well, wow. I mean, that just takes your sail out of you. God had other plans. God said, now you get to watch me. Boom, God moved. Don't ever look at opportunity. I told Justin, we went to Plain City yesterday, and we were driving by Flexible, where I used to work when we moved back. I was like, it was a great job. Really great job. But I said, losing that job was the best thing that ever happened to me. I said, it was the best thing. I don't know that I'd ever answered God's call the way I needed to. And I said, in that particular moment right there was a rough time for Mom and I. I said, and the factory is sometimes a really, really bad place to be. I said, God delivered me, and I thank Him for it. Thank God. I wasn't thanking Him right then that they closed. But I can look back and I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you shut that door. I never became my own boss. That was always my goal. From day one, after my first job fell through, I was like, I don't want this anymore. I look back at my life. God, you're awesome. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we once again thank you. Father, if we ever cease to thank you, Father, then there's something wrong. But Lord, we thank you to be your children. We thank you that you are awesome. Father, you leave us in reverential fear. We fear and wonder. Lord, even as John, recognizing the Son of Man, somebody he'd walked with, and he fell as if he were dead from the sheer awesomeness of a glorified Savior. Lord, I thank you that you are awesome. Lord, help us to find your awe, your wonder in everything that you do. And help us to remember that you have a plan for our lives. Lord, I thank you that you're moving today. You're moving in people's lives here today. Father, I ask you to open doors. I ask you to shut doors. I ask you to set the captives free. Father, set them free from their own minds. To that mind that says, yes, I see that it's desirable. I see that it's good to eat. But you told me not to touch it. Set them free from the reasoning of disobeying you. Father, bless your people today. Move victoriously in their lives, Father. Be the standard that they so desperately need. Rise up against that flood. In Jesus' name, amen.